So I was cynical today and I realized ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I am Charlie Bennett, in the studio with Fred Rasko and guest producer Marley Givens. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called...
Fred, guess what?
What was that, Charlie?
The A-B button, man.
The A-B button.
Doesn't matter who's on the board, the A-B button will get you.
Strikes again. Today's show is called It Could Happen to You. It's not referring to fire alarms. This it might be. This is the second in our series of Rock Stars, Burnouts, and Survivors. We're exploring the self-image and self-preservation of librarians and archivists. Today, we are considering low morale in academic libraries.
Oh, man, that's what could happen to us?
It could happen to you. And to find out more about it, we've enlisted the help of a guest producer, Marley Givens. Hey, Marley.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. And for today's show, we're going to talk to Katrina Davis Kendrick, a librarian who has actually done the homework and figured out exactly what contributes to a low-morale library environment.
If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS376 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 376. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or your own experiences with low morale in libraries with that hashtag.
And our songs today are about creeping negativity, feeling trapped, trigger events, and other light and humorous themes. Don't worry, it's not just about the negative today. It's also about figuring out how to turn it towards the positive. We'll start low and work our way up. So let's kick off today's show with, aptly enough, a track called Low Morale by Monogamy, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Low Morale by Monogamy. This is Lost in the Stacks. For today's show, guest producer Marley Givens and I interviewed Katrina Davis Kendrick, librarian at the University of South Carolina, Lancaster, and researcher of the causes and consequences of low morale in academic libraries. We started by asking her if there was a certain moment in her career that made her want to take up this area of research.
Yes, but I can't necessarily pinpoint it. It takes me about a year to do any writing, so if I backtrack it, it must have been 2016, sometime in 2016. Mm-hmm. And once I realized I wanted to do it, it went kind of really quickly from there. And I do most of my research with the idea of things that I've observed and sometimes in times in things that I've experienced myself. So this was something that I've been thinking about, talking with other librarians, things that I had observed, and in some cases, things that I've experienced. But I just wanted to know, in terms of my new method that I've been working on, which is within this phenomenological method, what the experience of that, rather than asking people, hey, raise your hand if you did this, and then raise your hand if you did that, which is what sometimes I feel like surveys are. I wanted to understand what was the actual experience of it. What do people move through if they were going through this experience?
So you recently wrote an article called The Low Morale Experience of Academic Librarians, a Phenomenological Study, that's in the Journal of Library Administration, and you mentioned your phenomenological method. Am I saying that right? Phenomenological.
Yes. If you want, you can say phenomenological. can
you talk a little bit about what phenomenological methods are, and particularly how they apply to issues of finding out like what the morale experience of librarians are?
So really quickly, without going into a long, detailed talk about what phenomenology is really quickly. It can be, it's a term that's used in several different aspects or contexts. It's a philosophical movement within that field, history. It focuses on conscious and experience. It's also a disciplinary field within philosophy where they look at perspective and intention and meaning. For me, it's a, and another way it is used is it is a qualitative research method where the focus is on structuring meanings of an experience, of an event, a situation, or state of being. So when we look at low morale, I was trying to find out what is the experience of low morale? What are people's perspectives? And what does that mean? So when most people read a phenomenological study, you come away with an understanding of what somebody has gone through rather than this idea of this abstract construction, which sometimes we have in quantitative methods.
So when you were writing this, you mentioned that you got interested in 2016 talking about thinking about your own experiences. Did you have any personal, and I'm going to use the term from your article here, trigger events?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to really back up. So a little bit about this idea. When I perceived or conceived of this study, I was thinking about low morale probably in a lot of ways that people think of low morale. So for you, can you tell me what you think of when you think of the term low morale?
You're asking me what I think
yes.
of
yeah.
when I think of low morale. Let's say a dissatisfaction with your job. It's less of a good experience than you expect it to be. That's the top of my head definition. Is that what you were trying to ask your research subjects, what their view of low morale was?
Well, when I was doing my research and considering this topic, a lot of the literature came up with things that you mentioned, low morale, the dissatisfaction with work, things like that, and all those things that people probably are thinking about, the listeners too, probably, when they think about the term low morale. And so I didn't expect that I would hear what I heard. So when you asked me about the trigger event, I didn't even expect that I would. That was something that I would be considering. The abuse concern, or what we now know as low morale from this study, is something that I did not even expect. So I wasn't even thinking about any trigger events or anything like that.
I was
thinking about study, you know, people going to tell me about low pay or layoffs or attrition or their boss doesn't communicate with them, those type of traditional things. That's what I thought I was going to hear about.
And that's actually what I was going to ask. I think that's probably what most of us imagine, because in the profession, that's what we all experience, these, you know, sort of low pay, overwork. When I hear low morale, that's kind of what jumps to mind.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit does come out of that, but it comes out in this other idea. When I was doing my literature review, so Fawzi et al., this is recently came out after I had my study published, but when I read it, I was like, this is amazing work. She talks about this concept of vocational awe. And so within that kind of framework, you do see those low morale issues pop up. But the actual trajectory of low morale is one that is triggered by these instances of abuse. So when we look at low morale, the definition through this my study is that it's the result of repeated, protracted exposure to emotional, verbal, written, and systemic abuse or negligence in the workplace. And so I interviewed these 20 people, and I'm expecting to hear, you know, these traditional markers, and everybody starts with a story about abuse, and I'm just blown away, and I have to just analyze the data that I received, and this is the result of that data.
So you mentioned a term, vocational awe. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and how that frames how librarians feel about the level of their morale in their profession?
Well, I can talk a little bit about it in terms of how I feel like it connects to low morale. So when Fawzi et al. Talks about low morale, she mentions it in this framework in that the idea that libraries are inherently good, and so they're when people talk about them, they're sort of beyond critique. And so if you have this idea where you can't critique your profession, but all these things are occurring within your job, then where do you go for relief? That's kind of how I see it.
Right. It's so, this profession is an inherent good, so how could I be feeling so bad?
Exactly. So who do you go to? Who do you tell? Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you tell someone outside the library when people think that you're the place that they go to? You know, the academic libraries and libraries in general in our society, we have these tropes around the academic libraries and libraries in general, that they're places of refuge, quiet. You know, they're up there kind of with this idea within this abstract idea of sometimes a concrete idea, depending on how people approach libraries. There's this idea of libraries similar to churches. And, you know, our history of the library is that it starts in a church and moves forward from there. So people feel like they approach these spaces with a sort of reverence. And so who are you going to tell that you're going through abuse in your workplace? Who are you going to tell? A library user? Your administrator? You probably won't. A lot of people find it even hard a little bit to tell their colleagues. It takes them a long time to even express to their colleagues that they're going through this experience of abuse in library.
Our guest today is Katrina Davis Kendrick, and we will be back with more about morale and academic libraries after a music set.
You can file this set under HF5549.5.M6B744. That was Sleeping Gas by The Teardrop Explodes. And before that, Something Was Strange by The Procedure Club. Those were songs about negativity that slowly creeps up on you.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks. Our guest today is Katrina Davis Kendrick, and we're speaking about her research into academic library morale and how that research was received.
So you've sort of had the chance to air the dirty laundry of librarianship. So how have people who are not librarians reacted to your research and your article?
Well, I don't see it as an airing of dirty laundry as much as an acknowledgement that something is occurring in our profession. And this has been kind of my trajectory for all of my research as I've been a researcher. And a scholar researcher. However, when I worked on this particular piece of research, I asked people specifically outside of librarianship to read it for me to make sure that it made sense to them, that it's very important in my research that it's approachable. So I always ask people outside of libraries to read my work. And I was surprised because they were saying, these are people who work in corporate places, who work in nonprofit organizations. And they mentioned to me after they read it that while they were reading it, it resounded with them greatly. So that was also surprising to me, but also validating in its own way. And as I have put it out there and people have read it, more and more people outside of libraries have said, this is something. And even when I go through Twitter to read the instances of low morale, people talk about quote-unquote low morale, they contextualize it within these markers that come through this study. So that was also fascinating and validating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I use the phrase dirty laundry because I always have the sense that other people have a certain idea of librarianship and what librarians are and what their work is like. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if this was a surprise to anyone.
Right. Well, no one who I sent it to were surprised. They never mentioned anything about being surprised. I think they were more surprise. If they're surprised, I think it was like, I have gone through this, but I didn't know this is what it was. So they never mentioned to me that they were surprised necessarily that it was going on in the space that it was occurring. I think they were more surprised that it was going on and they resonated with it.
So in that way, your work could apply to professions outside of librarianship. This gives maybe people who are not librarians a way of considering their own workplace and their own morale issues.
Correct. I do agree with that very much. Someone else needs to do another study on that outside.
What's been the response inside the profession? Have librarians contacted you?
Yeah. As soon as it came out, almost, so my study, I was very surprised, even though I was very excited in terms of this conflicted piece of being excited, because I have never been excited about the results of this study. I'm always conflicted that people have been going through this experience. It's not pleasing to me. However, I am honored that people are getting something out of it, and it seems to resonate with them, and they have a name for what they've been dealing with. So as soon as this study came out, it immediately was very popular on Twitter. And right now I believe it's at over 7,000 reads through the publisher. And people started emailing me almost immediately, letting me know that most of the time they would just start telling me what happened to them. And so they would reveal their own instances of low morale. And that was very interesting. Even when I was going through the study and talking to the participants recognized very quickly at the end of our discussions that it was healing for them to talk about it. So in that way, this is how the response to that study has given people a space in which they could discuss it.
And I wonder, do people that read this article within the profession of librarianship, do people that read it contact you? And I wonder if it's kind of they see you as an outlet for venting, maybe, you know, in a therapeutic kind of way. It's like, oh, somebody is writing about this and gets it. Do you feel like you are like the recipient of any of venting in the library profession?
I haven't received venting, or I've never taken it as venting.
Mm-hmm.
Even during my, keeping within the context that I didn't expect this stories of abuse to come, I didn't see it as venting, because what I needed to know is their experience. And for this particular method of phenomenology, I need as much detail as I can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, what they might have perceived as venting, or maybe someone, if I were not doing this in a research vein, it may be perceived as venting. For me, it's a validation of an experience for them. And so I believe that when they're sending me their messages, they are sending me their messages of this is how it validates. This is how your work has validated my experience and gives concreteness to what has happened to me. So to answer your question, I've never perceived it as venting.
Since the article has been published, have you been contacted by library administrators who are interested in your work?
I have been, but mostly it's people who you could perceive as people who work directly with the public, and mostly middle managers, but not a lot of administrators, a few, but not many. Which to me mirrors the results in its own way, mirrors the results of the study, which are in part that abuse is perpetrated by administrators or people who are above others.
Oh, just out of curiosity, how long have you been working in libraries?
Credentialed librarian, I've been working since 2005. And then I have numerous years of paraprofessional experience before that.
Okay. And what about the people who are contacting you? Are they, you mentioned middle management. Is that most of the response you've gotten? Or are you getting people who are brand new to the profession, people who are thinking about becoming librarians?
So most people don't indicate to me how many years. They're just sending me messages, and I don't look for that type of demographic information. But they seem to be people who have been working for a while, because they usually contextualize their comments as something has been going on for a while. But that also makes sense, because it takes a long time for the low morale trajectory to be identified. So I don't know if that means they're new, have more experience in the profession, or they've just been there for a while and this is their new position. I can't speak to those types of demographics. I'm not collecting.
Our guest today is Katrina Davis Kendrick, and we'll hear more from her on the left side of the hour.
Julie Grobe from the University of Houston Library, home of the Houston Hip Hop Collections, here in the chopped and screwed city of H-Town. You're listening to Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show on WREK Atlanta. All ready.
Today's show is called It Could Happen to You, and our discussion of low morale in academic libraries has included a term that we hear sometimes in the library profession, vocational awe, which is the concept that libraries are inherently good institutions, that they are beyond critique. To see how this might affect morale, let's go to the paper by the librarian that coined the term, Fobazi Attar. She writes, "As part of vocational awe in libraries, awe manifests in response to the library as both place and an institution. Because the sacred duties of freedom, information, and service are so momentous, the library worker is easily paralyzed. In the face of grand missions of literacy and freedom, advocating for your full lunch break feels petty. And tasked with the responsibility for sustaining democracy and intellectual freedom, taking a mental health day feels shameful. Awe is easily weaponized against the worker, allowing anyone to deploy a vocational purity test in which the worker can be accused of not being devout or passionate enough to serve without complaint." Well, we'll just sit with that for a minute and file this set under PN 1997.0328.
Trapped in a tent with one big mistake.
Echo Beach by Martha and the Muffins. And before that, Trapped in a Tent by the Heligoats. Those were songs about being trapped in the drudgery of an unhappy situation.
Today on Lost in the Stacks, we're talking about low morale in libraries with Katrina Davis Kendrick.
You know, we've been talking a lot about kind of what motivated you to study this and then the immediate response that you've gotten to your article. But I think as librarians, we sometimes, you know, want to get to the action items, like what is it that we can do in response to this? And I know that your article does get into some coping techniques. So I'm wondering, for someone who is experiencing some kind of workplace abuse or a low morale, what sorts of things would be helpful for them to do in that experience? So I would say if they can't just immediately get out of it, you know, what's something that they can do to improve their situation at work?
Well, if I can back up just one click, if someone is in this experience, recognize that it takes a while to recognize that you are going through this experience, and don't blame yourself for not realizing it earlier, because it does take a while to realize that that was a trigger event. If you go back and look at, oh, when that person said that to me or did that to me, that was the beginning of this thing. It takes a while to recognize that this is going on. And another thing is, do not discount the role of negligence in this experience. One of the things I realize is that people don't recognize that negligence is a form of abuse. So abuse, I perceive it as something being done to you in a negative space or a negative way. But negligence is something or things that are not being done for you that you might, like, no response. Like, you tell someone that you're being abused in some sort of way and nothing happens. Lack of advocacy for the library is a form of abuse, particularly if it results in other sorts of abuse, systemic abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. So keep in mind that negligence is a form of abuse and recognize that. So when people don't respond, that's when you start documenting. So there are coping mechanisms, and these are the things that people do to reduce the effects of low morale, whether they realize it or not. They're not always positive, but there are things you can do that are positive, and that is, one, create your work life boundaries and stick to them. Whatever they are, stick to them. It's very important that you when you're not at work or there's a time when you shouldn't be at work, do not be at work. And if there's a way where you can take off time outside of that, anybody say, someone saying, if you take time off, I'm going to ding you for it. You know what? Take the ding. You need the time off. Take your time off. And, you know, and that's when that vocation all comes into play. Do not give your job more than it's required if you find you're going through this experience. Take care of your health. People found that getting into, they mostly did yoga because I think it has the benefits of the physical activity and also the mindfulness portion of that practice. So take care of your health. Take physical care of your, do physical health things. Go jogging, bike ride, walk, whatever that thing is for you that allows you to take care of your physical form. Do that or start doing that. If you're taking medications, of course, for any chronic conditions that come up as a result of this, take those and be compliant and recognize that doing the physical health thing will probably help mitigate those things in the long term. Systemically, take document. I cannot stress this enough. It does put more work on the person who's being abused. However, it will help you. It helps you keep a sense of control because you can recognize, you can see the pattern. And it may be that some point that someone else will say to you that they're going through this in the same workplace, and then you can do something and start an actual mitigation method, which is different from coping. Mitigation methods are things that that you do that affect the person who is abusing you. So there are two things you can do. The coping mechanism, focus on the positive ways to cope, and then begin systemically working on something so you can do a mitigation method that will affect the abuser who is manifesting these things upon the workplace.
When you were interviewing folks that were telling you their stories of low morale, did you find that they would bring up terms that are kind of, common in academic librarianship, like the neutrality of the profession or the need to be resilient?
No, they didn't use those terms. However, they did use the terms of our systems that we work within.
Mm-hmm.
So they use things like, I would love to tell somebody this has happened to me, but I'm a junior faculty member. Mm-hmm. So, and the person that's ahead of me is already tenured, and they're going to be on my tenure and promotion committee.
Mm-hmm.
They did use the terms of other enabling systems. For instance, I did tell HR, but HR, because I'm a faculty member, HR doesn't help with faculty grievances, so there's not much they could do. Or conversely, well, I did tell HR, but the person that's doing this to me has been here so long that they're not going to do anything about it. So there are these de facto and de jure policies that are in play that don't necessarily help an abused person, a person going through low morale. So they talked about it in those type of enabling systems or the context in which many librarians, academic librarians, work within.
It seems like the research you've done in the article that you published has lessons that could be learned by someone who is new to the profession, who hasn't really, maybe hasn't experienced the workplace. You know, they're sort of young and coming out of school, or someone who's moving into the library profession from another profession who might sort of be naively thinking that they won't have the same kinds of experiences, you know, moving into librarianship. So is there anything in particular, or any actions that maybe you're taking through blogging or just by, you know, I know you're doing some webinars, you know, any sort of message that you feel like you are bringing to people who haven't experienced this yet?
Well, I haven't necessarily thought about it in that context. However, if you are a person coming into this profession, and I think we do need to recognize that our profession is one that is generally and often made up of people who are coming from another profession, and they're not necessarily understanding what the work of librarianship is. And a lot of those concerns go through, you know, tend to deal with the realm of library education in general. So there's this idea that, and if you think about it within this idea of this vocational awe, you know, you just mentioned about asking me about these terms of neutrality and things like that. We're not neutral. This is not a neutral profession. I think it's particularly in the last 2 or 3 years. I don't think we necessarily have the luxury of thinking that anymore. But we also, I think it's fair to say that every profession has its problems. And librarianship has its problems. And I think there's this idea that librarians don't have problems. So anybody coming into the profession should recognize that we have our problems. And this is one of them. However, it can be mitigated. And this is just a notion of understanding that your life and your career need to be as separate as possible. So the identity of many academic librarians is that their profession becomes their identity even outside of work. This is something that even I myself have dealt with, and I continue to deal with that. It can be, sometimes it can be debilitating, and this is one of the ways where it debilitates us, because when we come to the library and then these things happen, we can't separate it, and we see it as a personal failing. And in this case, low morale is not a personal failing. This is a systemic issue, and we need to work on the systems to deal with it.
We've been speaking today with Katrina Davis Kendrick, librarian at the University of South Carolina, Lancaster, about her research into the morale levels of academic libraries.
You can file this set under HD6331.s.
You just heard Hard, Hard Year by Growing Concern. And before that, Tank Commander Hung Up in a Warehouse Town by the Constantines. Songs about trigger events and systems that keep us down and taking action to change things.
Today's show is called It Could Happen to You. It's all about low morale in libraries. Marley, as today's guest producer, and thank you for that, I think we should let you have the last word on what struck you about this interview and how to deal with low morale.
Well, I think the thing that struck me the most in the whole interview was when Katrina mentioned sharing some results with folks outside of librarianship, and those people just weren't surprised at all.
To them, it was just having a job.
Right. So we can't get too stuck on thinking of librarianship as a calling or as a noble profession. I mean, it is that, but it's also a job. And often along with that come the demoralization triggers, just like in any other profession.
In other words, librarians, it could happen to you. All right, I'm going to roll the credits. Y'all stay alert.
Look out!
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Charlie Bennett.
You.
Wendy Hagenmeyer, Fred Rasko, that's you, and Emmy Decker.
And Charlie Bennett, that is you, was our engineer today, and the show is sponsored by the existential dread of librarians everywhere.
Legal counsel and regular doses of positive reinforcement were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Katrina for being on the show. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and plenty of other places we don't even know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, we finish Rockstars Burnouts, and Survivors with an uplifting episode that we're calling Self-Care in the Archives.
It's time for our last song today, and it's a suggestion from today's guest.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's right. In addition to being a librarian morale expert, Katrina is also a K-pop aficionado, occasionally blogging about it at kpopcollective.com.
So we close with one of her favorite songs, her favorite K-pop songs. This is a positive trigger that can lift her mood when morale is low. It's a track called Trigger by South Korean boy band Shinee, is I think how you pronounce it, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everyone.